Why can't the Miami Dolphins just have one regular season game that feels regular? Last night, total disaster.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios.
The man your man could smell.
Theo Dorsey is theoretically speaking.
But are you a different animal and the same beast?
Streaming live on YouTube.
You're going to break up with me because of what I do on the radio?
Here's Theo Dorsey.
Good people. Wish we were all in better spirits here on a Friday on Theoretically Speaking, but we are faced with the results of what was, literally just an absolute nightmare scenario for not just the Miami Dolphins, but anybody who actually gives a damn about the human being that is Tua Tagovailoa. It's your boy Theo Dorsey. We got Damian Perez on the other side of the glass on the ones and twos here as we bring you a Friday edition, a football Friday edition here as we have obviously Russo and Rizzo right after us. But after that, we have high school game day. We have our game of the week. There's so much going on out here around the sport of football. But last night on Thursday Night Football, it was a reminder of just how violent of a game this is that we watch and love and enjoy, and also just how on any given snap, how volatile these things can be for those involved. Before we get into the Tua of it all, as everybody's out here contemplating whether or not the Dolphins quarterback should be considering retirement. If you haven't heard, obviously Tua suffering yet another concussion in the third quarter late. We'll get to that. I do want to first just address what happened up until that fateful 4th and 4 in the third quarter where Tua was knocked out for the rest of the game. And that was a sheer dominant performance by the Buffalo Bills. And I specifically say Buffalo Bills, Damian, because it wasn't like this was like the Dolphins got beat by a Josh Allen performance that was something that was like a nuclear, you can't stop him, you can't find an answer thing. No, the Bills beat the Dolphins on all three phases, and outside of one drive from Miami, it never really felt close. It never really felt like the Fins actually had an opportunity to win. And this was a situation, Damian, where the Dolphins were at home. It's September. The Bills have a new look offense. Everybody in Miami has a new contract. This, if you're the Dolphins and you can't beat Buffalo in these circumstances, in that scenario, you have to start kind of looking inward and start thinking, maybe there's no scenario in what you get over that mountain that is Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. But an absolute destruction of the Dolphins before, literally, it became just an absolute just tragedy on the field. Damian, what did you see in those first three quarters? Like, what was your first reaction when you realized, oh my God, the Bills are doing it to them again?
Oh man, as a fan, because I am a Miami Dolphins fan, you know,
sorry about
residing here in South Florida basically my whole life, I'm a fan of the Dolphins. I mean, no pun intended, but they got cooked. James Cook
literally
ran all over them. What did he have? 3 touchdowns, 2 on the ground, 1 in the air.
3 TDs first half.
What is that? Like, you figure the Dolphins, you know, they address the defensive situation. I know we lost a couple players, but we brought in Poyer, who's our starting safety, who was on the Bills last year.
Yeah.
We brought in a new defensive coordinator. There's no reason why we should be getting ran all over. And I understand the Bills got a good team, but it shouldn't have looked that bad.
The Bills had 8 yards per carry in the first half, and you're right. New defensive coordinator Anthony Weaver for the Miami Dolphins. You figure you know what the Bills are trying to do, right? Since they had their offensive coordinator change last year, Joe Brady's been very, you know, literally focused on one thing and one thing only, and that's taking the amount of decisions, the amount of deep balls, the amount of dropbacks out of the hands of Josh Allen and leaning on short game passing, running the football, and also when you need him most, when it's a third and long, when it's a third and necessary, that's when the magician of Josh Allen comes out. But they don't do it as much. Like, it felt like before the Bills were reliant on Josh Allen, you know, heroic plays. Now they only go to them in spots where they need to. And I have to come out and say it. I feel two games into the regular season. And again, we'll get to the Tua stuff. Everybody's been all over it. I'm actually sick that we have to do this following a Thursday Night Football this early in the football season. We're talking retirement for a guy that just inked the largest deal in Miami Dolphins history. But again, two games into what we've seen from these Buffalo Bills, I'm starting to feel foolish forever doubting them. And Damian, I did something last night I thought I would never do. All right. Fourth quarter, when it was all said and done, after I had saw what I had saw, was literally a team in the Buffalo Bills who looked like they didn't miss a step. Might as well have said that they had a little bit of addition by subtraction after losing Stephon Diggs. Damian, I texted our guy Evan Cohen on Sportsmanlike 6 to 10 a.m., the guy whose namesake is on this studio we sit in here. I said, you were right. You were right. He's been out on Josh Allen and the Bills since Josh Allen was drafted out of Wyoming and had that, you know, I mean, that was, if you talk about his rookie season, people were writing that dude off instantly. Evan Cohen, who you hear on Unsportsmanlike 6 to 10 a.m. on Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN 106.3, he said this offseason, this is the year he believes in Josh Allen. He finally turned the page and said, these Bills are going to be good. They're going to win the AFC East. All of these, you know, he had so much praise for them coming into this year. I was the opposite. I thought they'd go like 9-8. I thought they would suffer with the new offense around Josh Allen, leaning on him more. But he was right. The Bills are off to a 2-0 start. The Miami Dolphins now are 1-1. They dropped the game 31-10 at home. And Damian, it's now you do have to move forward here. I know that it feels a little callous to do so. And I know that also it might be against the will of Tua Tagovailoa's loved ones. It sounds like it's also against the will of his teammates and his head coach, Mike McDaniel. But it would be irresponsible of me here, on theoretically speaking, not to ask the question that we have to tap into right now. And that is it time? Is it actually time? Should Tua Tagovailoa literally hang up the cleats after what we saw again in a primetime game, Tua on the ground in the fencing position? It's not my call to do so. It feels like it shouldn't be Tua's call to do so, though we're going to get to that, who actually should be in the decision-making chair. But I just want to start with this, plain and simple. After what you saw last night, after what you saw all through 2022, knowing that Tua Tagovailoa himself admitted after he had to call it quits in 2022 after multiple concussions, and again, they say two that year, really felt like it was three because that concussion slash back injury, quote unquote, that he suffered against the Dolphins or against the Bills, where they said it was a back issue, that looked like it could have been a concussion as well. This is now 3-4 concussions documented for Tua Tagovailoa, the fencing position on national television. Yet again, it feels like it should be over. We're not in position to call that. I do want to call out to you. How do you feel following what we saw last night, following the drubbing that the Dolphins suffered and Tua being yet again on the ground? And he did walk off on his own accord. That was the one positive. We did see him walk off the field. But we've also heard from other NFL players since then that they've had moments where they've walked off the field and looked conscious and don't even remember doing so. So, you know, you can't always just believe what you see in these scenarios. Should Tua hang up the cleats? Should this be it for the Miami Dolphins quarterback as we yet again see him go out in week two? 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. That's the number to call for the Baptist Health Hotline. Should this be it for Tua Tagovailoa? And if not, how do you even address bringing him back out there? Because I will say this, Damian, watching Tua in that position yet again as he tried to go for it. Do we have the play, by the way, the 4th-and-4? In the third quarter, we don't have that right now. We'll get that. We'll get that on the other side. Watching Tua pick up the 4 yards he needed on that 4th-and-4. The Dolphins were down 21. He did what he was supposed to do. He scrambled right up the gut. There was a lane, and then he meets DeMar Hamlin, but he had already passed the sticks. He could have slid. He was being competitive. His competitive nature took over, and he kind of went headfirst into DeMar Hamlin, and that's what caused that incident. There's so many gruesome injuries you'll watch and see. There was the Jordan Love play we just saw on Friday Night Football just literally a week ago. You think about, the quarterbacks who have snapped their legs, the Alex Smith gruesome injury, the Joe Theismann, like all of these injuries, the Dak Prescott, when he needed a contract with the Cowboys in the opening week and he had the gruesome knee injury, Nick Chubb last year, all of them feel so dire and it feels kind of gruesome. But watching Tua like that again, I literally got concerned because one of my biggest fears is losing your mental, losing your ability to cognitively think, losing those precious memories that you enjoy with your family, friends, teammates, everybody around you. And when you're seeing a guy have brain injuries like that on the field, I hate seeing him out there. And I would hate, especially this season, seeing a guy like Tua put himself back out there in harm's way. But again, people are saying it might be up to him. The Baptist Health Hotline, 888-760-3776. 888-760-3776. Hit us up. Who or exactly what, after watching that Thursday night football game, should Tua Tagovailoa suit back up for the Dolphins this year? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care. Are you experiencing foot and ankle pain and need to see an expert in the field? Baptist Health Orthopedic Care is a team of foot and ankle orthopedic surgeons and specialists who are regarded as leaders in their specialty. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho to learn more today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care combines its resources of experienced physicians and leading-edge treatments and technology to provide advanced orthopedic foot and ankle, joint replacement, spine and sports medicine care. Visit baptisthealth.net/ortho for more information today. Baptist Health Orthopedic Care has offices conveniently located in Palm Beach County through the Florida Keys. Learn more by visiting baptisthealth.net/ortho. And if you ask me, though, honestly, Damian, it's unequivocally a no. And it's not even has anything to do with, you know, me trying to make a decision for another man's life. When I look at what this Dolphins team is currently with Tua at quarterback, and the way that yet again, I mean, we're looking at a team in the Dolphins right now who the last time they won their division was 2008. That was the year Tom Brady got injured. The Brady and the Patriots dominated that AFC East, and you know this, Damian, as a Dolphins fan, they dominated the AFC East, for two decades, and now the Bills, who have won four straight division titles with Josh Allen as their quarterback. They look well on their way to a fifth one if the Jets aren't able to contend, because right now the Dolphins are literally looking to see, are we going to go with Skylar Thompson, who did not look ready last night, or do we go out to free agency and pick up a guy like Ryan Tannehill, who we haven't seen be good in like 2 or 3 years? The Tannehill tweets and the pressure or the fans asking for Tannehill, it just feels a little foolish and maybe nostalgic, because maybe you don't remember what he looked like last year. It was bad. It was bad. I don't see what the actual answer is for the Dolphins to move forward here. And Mike McDaniel, he's saying all of the right things. He had a Zoom interview this morning where he talked with reporters. He's saying all of the right things right now. And he even admitted, like, reporters are trying to ask him, hey, are you going to try and influence Tua to retire? Do you think it's time for him to hang up the cleats? Because nobody cares more for Tua outside of his family, it seems, than Mike McDaniel, who poured confidence into him, who was one of the big reasons why Tua was able to sign that 4-year, $212 million extension for the Dolphins this offseason. And who you saw when Tua did get up and was walking off the field last night. You saw that picture of Mike McDaniel giving him that kiss on the forehead there, Damian.
It was beautiful.
It's you forget these dudes are they're people. They're actual people. They're human beings. Like, we talk about them like they are, you know, literally just athletes, you know, people you can't touch. You just see. We have all of these people who make fun of, and, you know, I'm seeing even, like, I don't even want to mention his name, but the dude who's doing all the, you know, the CTE stuff on Twitter, you know, sports media guy now, I guess, and he himself suffered some huge hits with the Steelers and some concussions, and he's over here making light of the situation. I don't want to see Tua ending up like that. And a lot of that comes from messing up your mentals, messing up what's up there between your two ears. And Mike McDaniel is saying all the right things as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, but also just as a man who cares about another man and obviously loves Tua. Here he is addressing reporters this morning based on, hey, should Tua retire?
I don't think it's appropriate simply because of my care and regard. And I don't think those types of conversations, when you're talking about somebody's career, I think it probably is only fair that their career should be decided by them, you know?
And if I could follow up, guardian caps are now allowed
to
be worn.
We cut it right there.
Will you urge Tua?
We cut that because they're going to ask him about guardian caps and whether or not Tua would wear one and if that would help him. And the science and all of the results are still not all the way, you know, we don't know necessarily how much that would help. And it looked like even in that spot right there, I don't know how much the guardian cap would have helped as he, you know, literally the contact with Hamlin's body, him rearing his his head, his helmet, right into Hamlin's chest and hitting the ground afterwards. I'm not sure how much a cap would help in that situation. Really, what would have helped is him sliding, him protecting himself. And that's been one of the biggest issues. He took the martial arts classes ahead of last season to help protect himself. He bulked up last year so he can play all 17 games, so he can stay healthy, and he was able to do so. You didn't see Tua scrambling as much last year. You saw him remain in the pocket. You saw him protect himself in a way that allowed him to be the league leader in passing yards, and it also allowed him to sign that mega deal. That deal is going to pay him more per year than Dan Marino made in the entirety of his career with the Dolphins. That's how big of a deal it is that the Dolphins committed to Tua this offseason. And now just two games in, less than 2 months from that contract being signed, the ink being dried on that piece of paper, we're already having that conversation of whether or not he will ever suit up for the Dolphins again. It's just sad, man. It's just ultimately sad, not just for Tua, but for his family, for the franchise. And we're going to get to the Manti Te'o reaction on NFL Network as well later. Like, hearing him talk about it and his ties with Tua as somebody who actually has a connection for him, who actually loves him, like, all of that stuff, it's heart-wrenching, man.
It's tough. And at this point, I feel like the Dolphins just shouldn't play on Thursday night, because we've seen that it happen. Too. And the last time it happened against the Bengals on a Thursday night, it was a scary sight, you know? Like you said, he was in that fencing position on the ground, and this was literally very similar. And like you said,
I thought it was over then, too. And Manti Te'o came out and said, after he saw that,
yeah, well, that
he
was
wanted
the worst
his
one.
Brother to retire.
That was for sure the worst one, and he got carted off, taken in an ambulance. You know, that was for sure the most serious one, and it happened, as you mentioned, a few days before, the Sunday before they had played the Bills.
Yes.
And they had ruled out that
the
concussion.
Back injury.
That
and
everybody knew was a concussion.
And that's what really ticks me off the most about this stuff is we, as much as we try and act like we care about players' health and players' safety, and as much as we, even Mike McDaniel and that Dolphin staff, even he can stand up there this morning and say what he said at the microphone. But he's also, they've all been enablers as well, because we saw what we saw in that Sunday against the Dolphins last year when Tua clearly was shaking the cobwebs off, and they listed it as a back injury. And they said it had nothing to do with his head slamming against the ground. We saw it against the Packers, head slamming against the ground, and he was obviously concussed right there. Now, we could keep playing this little cat and mouse game. Oh, you know, it was cute back then, right? It was cute. Everybody was, even on the radio station here on ESPN 106.3, I remember arguing until I was blue in the face with our guy Ken LaVica that, no, that was a concussion right there, and he should not be playing on a short week in Cincinnati. And if anybody doesn't believe that that matters, because we've heard from the actual experts, I'm no doctor, Damian, but we've heard from the experts that, yes, multiple head injuries in a shorter period of time, that is what can actually make these things worse, right? Like, and it makes sense with anything. If I told you I sprained my ankle on Sunday and then I ran and I hurt my ankle again on Thursday, wouldn't you think it would be a little bit more excruciating, a little bit more of a problem?
You figure logic would tell you that.
Yes. And we still don't know how the brain correctively heals. And there's some doctors out there that'll tell you it never necessarily all the way heals. The trauma and stuff that comes from things like CTE are... Again, it's irresponsible for us to talk about these things without an actual doctor in here to verify it. But also, it's irresponsible if the Dolphins, their medical staff, whatever individual, any independent medical staff that the league has, don't step in here and at least try and take this decision out of the hands of a guy like Tua Tagovailoa, who needs to be there for his family, who has kids, who has a wife, who has a family and friends and teammates who care about him, because the game is just a game. We did hear from Bart Scott on Get Up, and I think it's most important in these spots to take a listen to guys who have actually been through it, who have suffered concussions, who have played the football game at the highest level, and also on top of that, who are separated from it at least enough now. Like Bart Scott, I don't remember what year he retired, but it's been some time since he's been out there with a football helmet on talking about can't wait. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm pretty sure he retired because of a medical foot injury, correct?
He said that was it. But then on Get Up this morning, he admitted for the first time publicly it was actually because he said he was seeing spotlights. He realized that something was going on differently with his brain. It's a gladiator sport. It is an ugly sport, especially the amount of hits you'll take and receive at a linebacker position. But here's Bart Scott, again, after he admitted him retiring wasn't necessarily about that foot injury that was out there publicly. It was about what he saw and witnessed happening up top in his brain. And here's kind of his advice, because he feels like he regrets technically retiring because he misses it some. And maybe hearing him will shine more of a light on why it's so hard for any football player, but especially Tua Tagovailoa, to try and walk away from the game.
Be a decision, and sometimes, you know, I regret that I walked away. And sometimes, you know, because you have to live with that. Like, you know, leaving a game that you've dedicated your entire life to is like a death. I tell people all the time, athletes have two deaths, right? And you don't know what to do. You wake up the next day and you're 30 years old, you're 20 years old, and you don't know what you want to do with the rest of your life. And everything that you've done has been defined by being a football player. And it's not who you are, it's what you do. But all the laws and everything that we've learned and all the best qualities of us were learned on the football field, how to work with others, how to be accountable. And now you're not a part of that, and it's the loneliest feeling in the world. You know, that's why we see guys, and we don't know why guys commit suicide, but it's that lonely feeling of being not around anybody and feel like you have no worth.
Yeah, it's a combination of a lot.
That's Bart Scott again. Though he knew it was time, he still regretted it because his identity was so tied in that. And especially with the game of football, but really all sports in general, you talk to athletes that are either recently retired or a year or two out from it, or maybe are considering it. That's usually the hardest part for them. Yo, like, this is, since I was 8, since I was 7, my dream was to go play pro. And everything I've done, the way that they eat, the way that they train, how early they wake up in the morning, the people they surround themselves with, the sacrifices, it's all been about that one thing, playing this sport that you love, that you put this passion into. You can't play football unless you care that much about it. And for somebody to say you need to walk away from that, it's hard for them, because what are they walking into afterwards? For Tua, he should be set up to have other things. There's a lot of players that don't have that kind of leeway, that didn't sign a major contract with that amount of guaranteed money and whatnot, who are like, not only is this my way of life, but this is my only way of earning that I know. It's extremely sad, Damian. And specifically coming off of what we saw last night in Thursday Night Football, it's something that we need to take into consideration as we're out here recklessly talking about whether or not that guy should be the quarterback for the Dolphins going forward in the future. Tua Tagovailoa, in concussion protocol, was knocked out of the game last night in Thursday Night Football. The big headline of the day was that it kind of overtook what the headline was going to be, which would have been everybody talking about same old Dolphins. Playing against a playoff team, getting blown out, looking totally outclassed, losing 31-10. They were getting gashed by the run. Josh Allen only had to throw the ball 6 times in the second half. Like, that was going to be the headline, but now everything shifts, and we all knew it the moment we saw Tua in that fencing position once again. We have the safe bound get around on the other side. We're also taking it to the house because it's a Friday here, Damian, and we love to not just go to the house, West Palm, but also give people something that they can take with them that they don't have to maybe watch, because we're telling them right now what's going to happen with it. So it is going to be a fun Friday. We're going to chop on a lot of those things. But again, it is not fun. Anything around Miami Gardens, around the Dolphins, who are now 1-12 against the Bills since 2017, it just is a very dire situation. Questions all around that franchise, including with how well Mike McDaniel can coach in these big games and who's going to be their quarterback come September 22nd when they take the field again. We're going to go to a break here. Before we do, though, I do want to tell you about Kaiser University and that golf program. There's no place out here that's going to prep you better than the Kaiser Golf Coaching Center. That's like what they do. The Kaiser Golf Coaching Center, they train you the same way that they would train those Kaiser Seahawks, who are renowned for just winning national championships in any sport that they go into. Golf's one of them. The Kaiser Golf Coaching Center has everything you need to succeed. The putting green, the driving range, and of course, in South Florida, you can never count on the weather being perfect. You can never count on a rainy day not popping up out of anywhere, and that's why they have a 2,000 square foot indoor training facility with 3 different hitting bays. So it could be you, a friend, another friend, maybe you're in a group training, even if it's a private session, you got ball flight technology. Cutting edge technology right in there waiting on you to pull up with your clubs, hit some balls, and right after you do, you get a video replay. You can walk through every single part of your swing, break it down, tear it down from scratch, and start over if it's that bad. It was for me when I first started. And you can work with every club out there. It's a perfect place to go to train your game. KaiserGolfCenter.com. KaiserGolfCenter.com. Train like a Seahawk. Train like a pro. Tighten up that golf game. We are entering season soon. You don't want to be out there on the course, especially in some of these scrambles, being the guy who has to keep picking his ball up. Don't be that guy. KaiserGolfCenter.com. I am ultimately amazed at how this headline has gotten buried, especially here in South Florida. My all-time favorite athlete is being properly honored, and I think I'm not alone here in South Florida by calling him that. Literally, the Dwayne Wade news we got this week is huge. That's part of our SafeBound Get Around. We'll address that and more. That's Damian Perez in for CCAT. I'm Theo Dorsey. We're Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
Fantasy football players, we got some breaking news, availability update ahead of the week two of the NFL season. So how about before we get into the safe bound, get around and talk about my guy, Dwayne Wade, finally getting his proper due. We got to get you some breaking news, courtesy St. Louis Battery and Tire.
Breaking news on ESPN 106.3 is brought to you by St. Lucie Battery and Tire. If your vehicle has issues with braking or other issues, get it fixed right now at St. Lucie Battery and Tire.
Vikings wide receiver Jordan Addison ruled out for Sunday's game against the 49ers due to his ankle injury. That tweet from Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL Insider. Jordan Addison, second-year sensation, who looked like he had a connection with Sam Darnold, will not play against the 49ers. That's going to affect the line a little bit maybe, but most likely that affects how much attention the 49ers defense can pay to the man who's paid the most outside of any quarterback in the NFL in the history of the league, and that's Justin Jefferson. That's impactful. That's going to be impactful. Especially not just for fantasy football leagues, but especially for Sam Darnold, who is now going up against the team that he reclamated his career with in San Francisco, where he was able to go there, sit behind Brock Purdy, learn from the offensive genius that is Kyle Shanahan. And that is what gave Kevin O'Connell the confidence to go and grab him this offseason. Now the Vikings, Sam Darnold looked good in week one. He looked like, as good as you could hope him to look, maybe even better, as they blew out the Giants 28-6. This is the real test, though, going up against that 49ers defense that Aaron Rodgers couldn't solve, and he'll be doing so without his number two target in Jordan Addison. I would expect more touches for Aaron Jones, more short passing, and also pepper and J.J.'s as often as possible out there for Minnesota. This, though, very big. Damian, You're still obviously ailing off of the loss for the Miami Dolphins. When I look at what happened last night, not just getting blown out by the Bills, but losing Tua and also just not looking competitive, it really felt like one of those things that was like a perfect storm of you couldn't write up a more disastrous game for the Dolphins than that. Like, literally, if you would have lost two receivers, if Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle would have had like ankle, hip injuries or something, if a player snapped a leg, something gruesome happened, nothing is as bad as what happened, getting bludgeoned by your rivals and having Tua suffer another concussion.
At home, too. I think that's a big detail to mention, because we rarely go up to Buffalo and win. And usually when we do go up to Buffalo, it's later in the year when it's cold.
Yeah.
And you already know what happens to the Dolphins when it's cold.
Right.
But that game was at home. That was the one that we really needed for the run in the division and the AFC in general. And unfortunately, like you said, it was literally worst case scenario.
It is. And we're still waiting to see. Mike McDaniel did admit that they are going to be looking to bring a quarterback in. Mike White is out there. The Dolphins had him through the preseason. He got cut. There's Ryan Tannehill. There's a lot of veterans. Somebody said Tom Brady.
The man in the booth.
He's the man in the booth. He's also the man in line to own the Las Vegas Raiders. I think we can stop with the Tom Brady to Miami stuff right now. But the Dolphins are going to have to find, even if they do think Skylar Thompson can start for them, which Mike McDaniel was hesitant today on the Zoom call with reporters. He was hesitant to even go that far. Still need another guy in there. Still need another quarterback in there that you can trust to run that system.
What about, and this is insane that I'm even saying this as a Dolphins fan, but what if we go and get Russell Wilson, who might be losing his QB1 spot? You know, I mean, it's not the best case scenario for your franchise, but he's serviceable, I would assume.
The Dolphins, what we do know, and you're right, he's serviceable. What we do know is the Dolphins are, they have to. They have to go get a quarterback because I do think they push too many chips in on trying to compete this year, which you have to do when you pay your quarterback that much money, when you pay a guy like Tyreek Hill, who's over 30, as much money as they recommitted to him, and Jalen Ramsey. They recommitted 3 years to him. Like, you are all in on competing, on trying to snap that playoff win drought in Miami right now. So you have to go get a quarterback. I just don't know who would make sense. I also don't know why the Steelers, who are in the AFC, who are in a similar position as the Dolphins, where you want to compete for the division crown. You're going to say you can do it, but you don't really believe. Like, you think that you think you're in line for a wild card spot. And if I'm the Steelers, and I know the Dolphins are fighting for a wild card spot, realistically, if you gave me some truth serum, some of that truth juice, I'm like, yeah, we kind of need that wild card spot as well. Why would I give you my quarterback? Why would I give you a backup quarterback that can come in and raise the ceiling for you when he could be our security blanket if Justin Fields, who also scrambles a bunch, gets hurt? There's no reason the Steelers do that unless the Dolphins offer them some kind of substantial draft capital, and that would be kind of idiotic just for a guy like Russell Wilson, who we don't know if he fits Mike McDaniel's system, and I would dare say he doesn't.
I mean, we don't even know if he's healthy at the end of the day.
That too. I forgot. Yeah, he's dealing with the calf injury. Yeah, there's no good answer right here. Again, this is D-Day for the Dolphins. There's no scenario that could have been worse than what happened on Thursday Night Football last night, and that's why it feels horrible. The energy was sucked out of that stadium. Actually, it's funny. I was going to be going to Thursday Night Football Dolphins-Bills last night, but instead I ended up going and covering some high school football for our ESPN West Palm play coverage. By the way, tap in. Make sure you're subscribed on YouTube. We got a great show coming to you tonight and some great high school football highlights. I chose covering high school football over that. I'm kind of glad I wasn't there in the stadium for that, because that just felt like that's a miserable time to have to be there. And again, as a reporter, you want to be in those environments, right? You want to be there to experience it and retell that story. But I talked to some folks that was in there. It just, the energy was sucked out of the stadium, and it doesn't feel like anything that the Dolphins do the rest of this season can make up for what we saw on Thursday Night Football. Mike McDaniel and the squad is going to have to figure it out. They're going to have to figure out the quarterback position. They're also going to have to figure out regaining some morale for that team, because as optimistic as they are, and as positive speak, as much affirmations as Tyreek Hill and Mike McDaniel and all the folks around the Dolphins will continue to push out, it just does not feel like there's really much of a window of hope for that franchise. Mainly, not even because of the Tua injury, but because of what happened before.
I feel like it's just all stacking up. It's the performance, the injury. It's just,
I don't even.
It's just a horrible situation.
Let's hop on. Let's put our seatbelts on. Let's strap up for a ride here, Damian, as we get on the Safebound Get Around and take a trip around the country for the biggest topics. And we start off in a sport that I know, Damian, you're locked in on. I get around. What you mean you don't know? The Safebound Get Around. It's brought to you by Safebound Moving and Storage. You are safe with Safebound. Where are we going first?
Next stop,
Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Hey!
Inter Miami head coach Gerardo Tata Martino confirmed Lionel Messi will be available to play against Philadelphia Union on Saturday at Chase Stadium in Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Damian, hold on, dude. Give me that again. Give me that coach again, dog. You flexing on us like that?
Gerardo Tata Martino.
Woo!
I will actually be at this game, so it's pretty exciting for me to read that and actually be there present.
Hell yeah. This is huge, man. This is, Messi's the one of the biggest stars in sports, the biggest star in South Florida in sports right now. He's returning to play. He hasn't played since the Copa.
In 3 months.
July?
In 3 months. Yep, end of July.
So this is huge. You'll be there. I mean, how do you even put into words what it's going to be like to see that guy back out there on the pitch again for Inter Miami, especially given what we just like? Spirits are down. This is the glimmer of hope right now in South Florida.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's not just Messi coming back. Inter Miami's in first place of the Eastern Conference MLS. They are in the first place. They are securing the bye. And on top of all that, all the good performances, we haven't had Messi for 3 months.
Man.
He's coming back, and he's coming back to a team that's in first place in the driver's seat. So like you said, Miami Dolphins, not exciting. Inter Miami, there's something to be excited about.
Dolphins fans, latch on. It's right there in Fort Lauderdale. It's football. So, and it's Messi. It's a superstar, man. I'm just glad there's some positive vibes going on around South Florida right now.
Next stop,
305 Miami, Florida.
Speaking of,
the Miami Heat announced Dwayne Wade will have his statue revealed at Kaseya Center on October 27th,
woo!
And a ceremony the following night with a home game against the Pistons.
A winnable game, baby. Even Smart. Though last year, the Pistons were Cade Cunningham.
They're a young team,
game-winning shot away from beating.
They're a young team. Watch out for the Pistons.
Heat. Yeah, but this isn't about the game. I don't know when the last time I've been more apathetic, more like just meh about a Heat season than right now. Because as the rest of the Eastern Conference has been fortifying, retooling, shaping up to contend, we have the Celtics coming off of their championship appearance. They're confident. They brought everybody back. The Sixers retooled. I don't have a lot of faith in those guys to win a title, but if they had a matchup with the Miami Heat in the series right now, they'd be heavily favored. The Bucks are always going to be there with Giannis. The Knicks look really good. They got the Nova Knicks out there still. Like, we're forgetting a lot of these NBA headlines. There's nothing to be optimistic about for the Miami Heat season right now outside of Eric Spoelstra working his magic. And also, knowing that when you go to a game this year, there's going to be a new, bright, shiny Dwayne Wade statue to greet you right there at the Kaseya Center. That's my dog. You know, I actually have the one thing I got from the old ESPN West Palm office as we had all of these things to auction off. They had Tim Tebow jerseys and everything as we were moving out of there.
You did not.
I put all of my tickets in the Dwayne Wade bucket to get the Dwayne Wade auctioned jersey. And I won it.
That's for sure the best thing you could have gotten.
I won it.
To be honest, that's a great investment.
My favorite athlete of all time, and it's still here because my wife won't let me put it up in our house anywhere.
Next stop,
Las Vegas, Nevada. Active head coach for Las Vegas Raiders, Antonio Pierce, was asked about Tua's concussion history, and he said, and I quote, "He's going to live longer and he's going to play football. Take care of your family." Sorry, excuse me.
Yes.
He's going to live longer than he's going to play football.
Exactly.
Take care of your family.
Antonio Pierce is one of the more ruthless competitors we know. He came from that era, especially with the New York Giants, that was very physical. He's a linebacker. He's a guy that's gritty. He talks about the Mahomes rules. He wants to go out and knock your teeth out. And when you hear him, an active coach in Tua's conference, who comes from that kind of background and coaches the way he does, say, "Hey, Tua, think about what's important. Take care of your family. You're going to live longer than you play football." That should resonate. We have active and former players calling for Tua to at least reconsider retirement, which Tua has already admitted he did in 2022 when he suffered from these concussions. This is big. And I know Mike McDaniel does not want this to be a point of conversation today. I'll try and be as respectful as possible, but that is the topic. That is literally what's on everybody's mind. You can't ignore what's real. Hopefully for Tua and his family, they find some peace. They figure out the answer for him that's best for his kids, best for his future. And the Dolphins are gotta figure out what's best for them as a franchise. But again, Antonio Pierce saying, "Take care of your family," that should hold a lot of weight, way more than anybody else who's just out here talking in front of mics, except for me.
Next.
Listen to me, please.
Cincinnati, Ohio. Ahead of this weekend's matchup with the two-time defending Super Bowl champion Chiefs, Ja'Marr Chase was asked if the Bengals are the team to beat in the AFC.
Everybody knows that, bro. It's not no if, you know what I'm saying? We are the team to beat in the AFC, and we know it. And we got to act like it, and we got to play like it, too.
Okay, so let's just look at the facts here right quick. So the Kansas City Chiefs have not only been the best team in the AFC for the past 2 years, they've been the best team in football. And they've got the best quarterback in the AFC, in the NFL, actually. Patrick Mahomes. They have the best coach in the NFL and the AFC, in Andy Reid. And also, the Bengals didn't even make the playoffs last year. I actually appreciate what Ja'Marr Chase does and is doing. He talks a lot. He has a lot of bravado. He seems to have irrational confidence, which makes sense why he hasn't gotten that contract done with the Cincinnati Bengals yet. 2 years left on his deal. He's probably asking for the sun and the stars right now. It's got to be what's been holding him up from getting that deal done outside of the fact that the Bengals are cheap. This is good for football that he has this much belief and that he's willing to say all of these things vehemently against the behemoth Kansas City Chiefs. But the Chiefs and Bengals play this weekend on Sunday at Arrowhead Stadium. Joe Burrow's hand is obviously bothering him, his wrist. He obviously is having a problem with his throwing hand, and Ja'Marr Chase is not going to have that other guy, T. Higgins, likely across the field from him to take attention away. I would be shocked if the Chiefs don't not just win this weekend, but cover. And also, we got to discuss this further. We got to discuss this further, who the team to beat in the AFC is. But like all things, when we talk NFL here regarding the Chiefs, the AFC, and quarterbacks, we got to take the Chiefs out of the conversation. So we'll address that specifically. Excuse me here. I'm double punching things. We'll address that specifically here on Theoretically Speaking. Who is the team to beat in the AFC, not named the Chiefs? Clearly, the Chiefs are the team to beat. Ja'Marr Chase is just saying what he has to say in front of microphones because that's the kind of guy he is, and I would expect nothing less. And when the Chiefs bludgeon them on Sunday, we'll be able to bring those words back up and make them eat it. But he likes that. He's a competitor. But who is the team to beat in the AFC, not named the Chiefs? The Baltimore Ravens obviously had their chance at the Chiefs, almost got them. Toe-offed Isaiah Likely right there. You saw what the Bills did last night, Damian. Like, what was your perspective on the Bills before last night's game, and how do you feel about them now that you saw just how good they are even without Diggs?
I mean, I had hope going in, but at the end of the day, Josh Allen, in my opinion, is the second best quarterback in the AFC.
Wow.
And as long as the Bills have Josh Allen, I'm getting ahead of myself here because I know you just set up the question, but yeah. If it's not the Chiefs, it's the Bills.
Okay.
That's who you got to beat. That's who's going to win the division of the Dolphins. That's who's going to be up there. That's my team.
We'll talk about this on the other side then. Who is the team in the AFC to beat, not named the Chiefs? We got Chris in the chat here on YouTube, again, at Theo Speaking. He says it's the Ravens, and he might be right. I'll give my answer on the other side, but that was the Safebound get around. Safebound Moving and Storage, those are the folks you want to get in with if you are packing your stuff up and getting on the go. Why would you ever leave South Florida? But if you are, why would you go with anybody other than Safebound Moving and Storage? They are the pros to go to. They are located in West Palm Beach. They have storage capabilities for you if you just need to clear out a room, but they also are great at getting you from point A to point B, whether you're moving out of Florida, into Florida, or from county to county here in the Sunshine State. Safebound Moving and Storage is Florida's moving company. You're safe with Safebound. They have all of the best ratings. They've got great customer service, and I will say this again, my sister used them herself, and she had great results. Safebound Moving and Storage, tap in with them. The Safebound Get Around, always a comfortable vehicle to get us from topic to topic. And we end on this. Who is the team to beat in the AFC, not named the Chiefs? We'll take your calls, 888-760-3776, and you can drop them in the chat at Theoretically Speaking on YouTube or at ESPN West Palm on Twitter/X. That's Damian Perez. I'm Theo Dorsey with Theoretically Speaking on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, Theo Dorsey is Theoretically Speaking. Streaming live on YouTube, here's Theo Dorsey.
It was great to see DeMar Hamlin back out there. He actually led the Bills in tackles last night in the 31-10 drubbing of the Dolphins. 10 tackles, I think 8 solos for DeMar Hamlin. He was good. He was actually not a liability at all. A lot of people tease him for being a guy that's just the story. They like to talk a lot about what happened and ask if he's a clone and whatnot. Actually, our guy Cameron Wolf, NFL Network, did a great piece on Hamlin ahead of the Bills-Dolphins Thursday night football game. So in a day, again, where we would have been talking about that performance, we would have been further discussing just how much of a statement win that was for the Bills it all got diluted into, oh my gosh. And rightfully so, what the hell do the Dolphins do now with Tua Tagovailoa? What's best for him? What's best for his family? Not just the quarterback, but the human being. And I'm just glad at the very least that we do have a guy in Mike McDaniel who feels like he's going to at least handle it the right way as the head coach. And other people are kind of coming around the league, former, active, everybody, and just saying, hey, this it's just one of those situations where it is just greater than football at this point. But Ja'Marr Chase opened his mouth again. Ja'Marr Chase opened his mouth. Can we get that again, Damian? He was asked in the locker room leading up to Chiefs-Bengals on Sunday at Arrowhead Stadium. He was asked in the locker room, hey, who's the team to beat in the AFC? Ja'Marr, who you got?
Everybody knows that, bro. It's not no if, you know what I'm saying? We are the team to beat in the AFC, and we know it, and we got to act like it, and we got to play like it too.
Yeah, so he's wrong, right? The Bengals are nowhere near the team to beat in the AFC. They got worse this offseason. They lost Joe Mixon, who's now one of the leading rushers in the NFL for the Texans. They lost, you know, that's not the same defense they used to have. That's not the same defense out there that, you know, Big Lou was able to strategize and really put a stranglehold on Mahomes' offense and other great quarterbacks. It's a totally different look, Bengals team on both sides of the ball, and T. Higgins isn't even out there yet, and Joe Burrow is suffering from an injury. They're nowhere close to being a team to beat in the AFC. Matter of fact, Damian, they are the team to beat. As in, like, they're the team that when you line up against them, you beat them. Because the worst team in the NFL that we at least assumed who the worst team in the NFL would be coming into the season were the Patriots. And the team that had the biggest spread in week one were the Bengals against the Patriots, and they lost to them. So, yeah, the Bengals are the team to beat because they literally are a team that it seems like you're going to beat.
And they lost to the Patriots. It wasn't a fluke. You know, they got dominated in every aspect of the game.
It looked
bad.
Game.
Burrow actually came out, his wrist, there was a video, he couldn't even pick up a water
bottle.
Couldn't
pick it up.
I don't know if the timing of what Ja'Marr Chase, his soundbite, I don't know if the timing is adequate after you're about to go into Arrowhead and play the defending Super Bowl champions Chiefs.
He loves to try and stir the pot. So the question is not who the team to beat in the AFC is, because it's clear that the Chiefs, they are the overwhelming favorites to win, not just their division, but the AFC, and to try and go for the three-peat in the Super Bowl. The question is, who is the other team to beat in the AFC? Outside of the Chiefs, who's the team that is you got to go through them to get to the AFC championship game and eventually lose to the Chiefs? And we had earlier, the Ravens from Chris in the chat on YouTube. We have the Bills from Bubba, who jumps on the YouTube chat again, at Theo Speaking. You can jump in there and chime in if you feel like the Bills closed the gap with that 31-10 win over the Dolphins last night. We know it's not Miami, right? So the list is starting to shrink on who that squad can be. And Damian, I'll give you five options right now, and I'll let you choose who you think is most likely to be the team to beat outside of the Chiefs in the AFC. The number one option, you know, it's hard to say the Bills aren't in that conversation based on what they did last night. So I got the Buffalo Bills, right? The other one, the Baltimore Ravens, who we saw go head-to-head with the Chiefs and come close to tying or beating them in regulation if they went for two and got it. The Ravens have to be right there. They were in the AFC Championship game last year, and it feels like they might have even gotten better. The Houston Texans entered the chat. Diggs had two touchdowns in that game one. And also, I don't even think they've scratched the surface on what that offense can be as they continue to gel. So I got Texans, I got Bills, I got Dolphins. This next one might shock you a bit, Damian. Dare I say the Jets? I'm not saying that they are the team to beat. I'm saying that they deserve to be in the conversation right now because we haven't seen what that offense is going to look like down the line. They have Aaron Rodgers. They have what is supposed to be an elite defense.
And I think with the injury to Tua, the Jets kind of leapfrogged the Dolphins, because before the injury, before the game last night, I think you would have had to put the Dolphins on that top five.
Yeah.
But now it's the Jets instead of the Dolphins.
And I think that's not wrong to say. So Jets, Bills, same conference or same division. And then, of course, you got to go with the Ravens, who were in the AFC Championship game last year, just right there on the precipice of it. And the Texans are the up-and-coming contender, right? So that's four. The Jets were the surprise team. And if I'm throwing another one in the hat, it's not going to be the Bengals this year. You can't just hang your hat on, we have Joe Burrow so we can do it because we've done it before in a game against the Chiefs in the playoffs. I don't even know if the Bengals can make the playoffs with as strong as the AFC North might end up being this year. So the last AFC team I'll throw in there, and correct me if I'm wrong here, this might be another long shot. You might feel that way, but I'm going back to that AFC South, and I think Shane Steichen and the Colts, who played the Texans tough, who are being a little bit underlooked based on them not finishing that game out, if Anthony Richardson rears into form here, he could be one of those guys that you can't game plan against. Everybody's going too deep right now. They're going two safeties deep. Passing yards are down. They're the lowest they've been through a week since 2007. Guess who don't necessarily got to throw the ball down the field to beat you? And also, his arm's so big, he could throw it past both of those safeties. Anthony Richardson, he might be the solution to that problem. And you got Jonathan Taylor in the backfield. They almost made the playoffs last year with Gardner Minshew as their quarterback. The Colts might need to be in that discussion.
They got the best, one of the best O-lines, too.
Yeah.
You saw the throw that AR had the other day. He was, like, slipping. I mean, it's just defied physics. And like you said, they barely used Jonathan Taylor last Sunday. I assume they're going to get him more involved. I mean, they're a great dark horse. But out of the five, it comes down to two. Comes down to the Bills and to the Ravens.
Yep, that's it.
And out of those two, and hear me out, because Lamar Jackson is one of my favorite, if not my favorite player in the NFL. So I got that sort of bias towards the Ravens. But I got to put the Bills ahead of the Ravens in this one.
Wow.
Because I have to be honest. I mean, what the Bills showed us last night, like you said, it wasn't some Josh Allen heroics. It was a complete team from the running game. They actually lost a linebacker in the first quarter. The starting linebacker, I think his name's Bernard, who had a great week one. He was, you know, he was the alpha in that defense. They lost him week one. They didn't skip a beat.
Nope.
You know, DeMar Hamlin starting after everything that happened to him. They came into the season with not too many expectations, and I think they've already exceeded the expectations that they came in with. And like you said, they can only rise even more.
Yeah, if they win that division, that's why I put the Jets in there too. I think the Jets can still win the division if they straighten things out. The winner of that division is going to have a really good chance at advancing, because those are two teams you don't want to see in the playoffs, which you say about every team. I hate that moniker. On the other side, we're going to bring in Tina for the happy hour here on Theoretically Speaking. It happens daily. No Dean Thomas today. He's only Thursdays. That was a lot of fun yesterday, but Tina's pulling up for the happy hour, so stay tuned for that. And we're going to readdress some of this Tua conversation, but first I want to tell you what your plan should be this weekend. Tomorrow, we're going to be kicking it in Port St. Lucie. Pull up on me, baby. Pull up on me. The Coors Light College Football Tour. That is headed to Vine and Barley in Port St. Lucie tomorrow for the Texas A&M and Florida game. So come and join us for $15 buckets of Coors Light. $15, that's all it takes, a whole bucket of Coors Light. And you can play some tailgate toss with us. I'll beat you, but see if you can beat other people at the bar in tailgate toss. The ESPN West Palm Street team and Palm Beach Autographs will be giving away a signed football jersey from some of your favorite UF greats. You must be 21 or older to participate. And Molson Coors reminds you to please drink responsibly. Let's drink some Coors Light and watch some football on a Saturday. That's, again, Vine and Barley in Port St. Lucie tomorrow for the A&M and Florida game. I'll be there. We'll have a good time. That's my guy, Damian Perez. I'm Theo Dorsey. We are Theoretically Speaking. We have Tina pulling up on ESPN 106.3.